I wonder, have you ever done something a certain way for years and kept doing it the same way, and then one day thought, why have I always done it that way? Has anyone ever done that before? In the last year, I've been thinking about all the stuff I've done and all the memberships that I have. You know, when you stop doing things, especially during lockdown, you need to realize, well, why am I doing what I am doing? Why am I racing around? Why am I doing this? The dreaded gym membership. You know, I've got gym membership in my wallet, and I used to go because I used to take my kids swimming every single week, but I haven't taken them swimming that often. And I sat there the other day and I thought, I have still got my gym membership, okay? And I've possibly used the gym 3 times in the past year. Yeah, I've still got it in my wallet. And I'm sure many of you understand that, many of you do it. Or sometimes my wife watches this TV show, How to Save a Grand in 24 Hours. And they make couples go through their bank statements to work out all of the subscriptions that they've taken out that they never even realized were there, and the money they're paying out every month that they've forgotten. And it reminds me a little bit of a story of sometimes you just do stuff for the sake of it. And there was this young girl, and she was learning how to cook from her mum. And her mum cut the ham in half. And she sort of went, Mum, why do you always cut the ham in half and put it in 2 roasting trays? Her mum went, I haven't got a clue. So the girl then goes to her grandmother, and she goes, the mum goes, well, the grandmother taught me to do it this way. So the girl goes to the grandmother, and the grandmother says, she goes to Gran, why do you always chop the ham in half and put it in 2 trays whenever you put it into the oven? The grandmother goes, I haven't got a clue. I always do it because my mum did it that way. So she goes to her great-grandmother and goes, great Gran, why do you always chop the ham in half before you put it in the oven? And great Gran just turns around and goes, I've got a really small oven. It's the only way I can fit it in. I've been wondering why your mum and your gran have been doing it for years. And sometimes we can be like this, you know, we go through the same thing over and over again, and we just do it because we copy it. And sometimes I think church is like that. Why do we do church? Now, a lot of times when stuff in church, we do it out of habit. We do it just because it's the right thing to do and because we always sit in it. How many of us, I know I've always done the same. How many of us, we always like the same seats, don't we? Let's be honest, it's one of those realistic things. I used to go to my wife's home church years ago when I first met her, and I once sat in this seat and I heard all the old ladies grumbling behind me because I threw all their seating pattern out. So every time I visited her church, I sat in the same seat because I knew it was going to really mess them up. Because sometimes we do stuff out of habit, don't we? We do it out of because we're doing it. You know, in church, I really believe that sometimes we just need to ask the question, why do we do church? Why do we do it? Because sometimes we can lose sight of just getting caught up in the things that we do out of habit. And it's good to remember why we actually do church. Because Jesus said these words. He said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. But I always wonder, what sort of church did Jesus mean? You know, last year, I read a book. It's called Start With Why. It's a business book, and I found it really interesting. And the whole premise, the whole idea in this book was this. If you know why you're doing something, then what you do and how you do it will follow. But if you just do something and you don't know why you do it, you're going to get bored of it. You're going to end up stop doing it. It's not going to mean anything to you. You're going to lose your way. And you're going to lose your focus. And as a Christian, in the past year, personally, it's forced church to be different. It's forced my way of doing church to be different as a pastor and just as a Christian. But in the midst of that, I have found in my own life that my relationship with God has grown stronger and deeper and wider. And I've heard so many other folks say the same thing. But I've heard other people say to me, I'm desperate for like church to be normal. And I heard a great quote the other day that says, Christians, why are you so desperate for church to be normal when normal wasn't working before? And I think there's a sense that maybe we've boxed God into a Sunday, an hour on a Sunday, and that's all we give God a time. That's when we say, that God, that's when your time is. I wonder also if maybe we've replaced loving God with loving worship. Have we replaced seeking God with seeking what we want? There's a Canadian pastor called Kerry Newhoff, who I follow quite a lot. And he says these words. He asks the question even. He says, as Christians, are we married to the methods or are we married to the mission? It's a good question to ask. You know, some of you replied to me. I put this question out on WhatsApp a while ago. I said, why do we do church? So some of you gave really good answers. A lot of those answers are brilliant. But a lot of those answers were also like how we do church and what we do in church. Not actually why do we do church? Why do we actually meet together as Christians? What is the reason for it? And I've really grappled with this question. I've asked this question quite a lot to myself. And I've been questioning all the time, like, why do we do church? What is the point of it? What is the reason for it? Why? And I think, so this is not the definitive answer, is that okay? This is what I think church answered. You can have a debate with me afterwards, which hopefully if you want to do it, feel free to. But I think the answer can be found in 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. And I'm just going to read to verse 12 now. So it's 1 John 4, verses 7 onwards. And this is what it says. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is brought into full expression in us. Now, if you've been around church a while, you may have heard this passage. It's quite a famous passage. And I'm pretty sure we had this passage at our wedding, but my wife's not here, so I can say I'm pretty sure, because I'm not 100% certain, okay? If she was here, she'd go, can't believe you don't remember everything at our wedding, and I'll be like, don't remember anything. Okay, but I believe that this is one of the roots of why we do church. It's simple. It's love. Now, I'm not talking about, some of you might think, oh, here we go, Jim's awoke now, okay, he's all about love and everything else. Okay, I'm not going down there, so hear me out on this. When we become Christians, we connect with God's love. His love that was shown through the cross, his sacrifice that took away our sins. If we don't have that, we don't have Christianity. And it's all rooted in God's love. Now, if you read around this passage, and I'd encourage you to later on, if you're watching on the video, to press pause and to read around. You guys here, encourage you just to read around later. We'll see that if you don't love, you don't know God. If you don't show love to others around you, you don't know God. If you don't love God, you haven't yet come into relationship on him. It's one of the reasons for church. It's simple, it's love. I believe that church exists to experience God's love together with, and experience God's love and to love other people. The why of church is loving God and loving people. You know, when our why for church, when the reason we have church, when the reason church exists is to love God and love people, it drives everything that we do. It's the reason we have church is to love God. When that's the reason, then we put God at the very center. You know, for our reason for church, if it's for us, we put us at the center. And it's interesting that when churches reopened for the first lockdown, there were a lot of people saying, I won't come back to church. There's all sorts of good reasons for not coming back to church, okay? So this is not like a dissing people for not coming back to church. But one of the things used to make me smile was this. I'm not coming to church until I can sing. And you know, and I felt like that at the beginning. You know those words, I'm not walking in a building until I can sing. Do you know what I thought to myself is, Jim, the only reason you're not going to church is because you can't sing. What a blinking plonker, okay? Because I remember we listened to an Afghani boy years ago, and he described to me How him and his mum went to church by going into a cave in the ground because that was the safest place they could meet together as Christians. And they couldn't sing because if they sung, they'd be caught by other guys in the villages. And I was like, wow. Now, there's loads of good reasons why you couldn't come to church. Like, all sorts of things. But if it was just singing, you know, church isn't about how we feel. Church is about, I believe, about meeting together to worship God. It's not about our wants. It's about showing God that we're serious about Him. You know, it can be in danger that we make church about ourselves and not about loving God. By loving God, we put aside our wants for His wants. We create a place and we put a place in lives that say, God, it's not about what makes me feel good. It's about what you require of me. You know, Jesus says these words in John 14, verse 15. And these words are these. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Can I tell you a secret? It's not really a secret, okay? It's a little bit of a secret. I think it is in churches nowadays. When we love God and we do things His way, it's not always easy. But it's when we do things God's way that we reap blessing and contentment from Him. I believe when we do things the opposite way to God, we're never going to be satisfied. And I really feel this sense of, when we talk about why we do church, the fact we love God and loving people, it's this, I believe that God is calling people to be in a relationship with Him, calling His church back to love Him and follow Him, and to be about Him and not about ourselves. And I was just thinking about this recently. I was out walking my dog, yesterday, and actually thinking about this message. And I preached this message before, actually, a similar message somewhere else. But I just kept thinking about the message I was going to share tonight. And what really struck me is this. There is a difference between liking God and loving God. Do you know what? I like my football team. Now, yesterday, I'm over the moon. You know, Steve's happy because Stoke City won as well. And if John was here, John would be over the moon. Sheila won't be so happy because of Port Vale losing. Okay, but Blackburn won and I'm happy. And I like my football team. But can I tell you a secret? Not really a secret, but I'll be honest with you. What my football team thinks doesn't actually make a difference in my life. I like certain things, but I like some people. And there's some people I get on really well with. I like them. But when they say stuff, it doesn't really change my life. But I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my family. I love my really, really close friends. And when they talk to me, it makes a difference in my life. It changes things in my life. I listen to them. I respect them. And I think that God wants us not just to like Him, not just to be God-likers, but to be God-lovers, to listen to Him, to be in a relationship with Him. If we make church about our wants, not what God, not for God, then we're just consumers. But Jesus hasn't called us to be consumers. I believe one of the reasons for church is to love God and to be partners with Him, not consumers. And through this loving God, through this obeying His commandments, through putting Him first, then I believe God's love works through us to those around us. This drives us because church isn't about us, our wants and our preferences. It's about being a hope to the world around us and showing people God's love. Now, I just want to clarify here. Love doesn't mean accepting everything. We've got to love everybody. It doesn't mean we have to accept everything. It's not about tolerating everything. You know, and smiling, Jesus, when he was around, he went to the temple and he pulled a whip out. I'm not suggesting you do this anywhere, okay? Just to clarify. But he went through the temple with a whip when he saw stuff that was really bad. He loved everybody, but he didn't tolerate everything. By loving others means we see the church as a vessel to help others and not just ourselves. Now, if you're a Christian and your life is just coming maybe an hour on a Sunday and that's it. Guys, you've missed it. That's not what church, as I mean the church family, is about. It's about us seeking to encourage each other, supporting each other, about us having a deeper relationship with God. The problem is, if we make church just about what we can get out of church, our definition of church is how good it was and how much you liked it, and you'll struggle to grow as a Christian. But when church is about God's love and showing love to other people, God's love to other people, your focus moves beyond yourself onto others. Your focus is on how others can grow. Your focus is on not being a barrier to other people growing. Instead, you desire for others to experience God and grow in Him. It's the why. It's the motivation. You know, when we all have the attitude, we can all respect others. But when we find love, we find security. Now, I was listening, just going to finish now, so don't worry about it. You don't have to panic too much more. But I was listening to a podcast the other day from Iran. And it was one of these two young girls who were Christians in Iran. Now we've got a couple of Iranians in the back here with us today. And being a Christian in Iran is very different to being a Christian in the UK. I think we can agree on that. And these girls got thrown into prison because they told people about Jesus. Now, one of the prison cells they were in got put in there. It was horrible. Okay, so basically there was no toilets or anything else. It stunk. The blankets were wet, and that they had to use the blankets because they had nothing else. And they were really, really struggling, these girls. But in that prison cell, they started telling people about Jesus. And they started sharing Jesus with everyone who had listened to them. And they said these things. From being put into prison for being a Christian, they turned that horrible, stinking prison cell into a church. And they saw girls in that cell that were locked up with them become Christians. And they turned around and went, "This, our prison cell was turned from a prison into a church." And I was like, wow. They caught it. They caught what church was about. It's about loving God and loving other folk. I stopped when I was running and listening to that story. I paused and I just went, sorry, God. Sorry for what I've made church. And I'm encouraged by those stories of these people who have discovered what church is. You know, I'm really encouraged for those do Alpha Course. I'm really encouraged for some of the guys who have done Alpha Course online, who live out in Shropshire, and they've decided to go and book the village hall, okay, to run an Alpha Course, so everyone invite the whole village along to the Alpha Course. I'm like, wow, they've caught what Alpha is all about. They've caught what church is all about. It's about showing love to those around. I love it when people in our church will message somebody else in church and say, how are you doing? I'm like, yes, that's what church is about. I love it when someone in church has a message, they believe they listen to God and God's got a message. I'm like, yes, that was what church is about. I love seeing God move. And I just want to finish with these three questions to ask yourself. Two questions even to ask yourself. The first, there we go. I've gone through a bit here before I finish. First question is this. Is why we do church to love God and to love others. So the question I want to ask you is this. Sorry, I'm getting a bit muddled here. What has church become to you? Just a question to go away and think about. What has church become to you? And then the second question is this. How would your approach to church change if you focused on why you did church rather than just how and what you did? Finish with a quote by Simon Sinek here, who wrote the book Start With Why. He says this: people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And when we love God and we love other people with that love that God has through us, that's the reason for church. That's the reason we come together. We sing songs because we sing songs because we love God and we want to worship Him. We come to church and we look out for other people because of that love that God is moving through us. And we encourage each other and we build each other because we love each other, because the why is love, the love of God. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's stand together.